lethargy. We are going to combat it. Everybody, stand up. How many of you were not here last night? Oh, you got some learning to do. How many of you were here last night? You got some teaching to do. Right? Because we're going to be
awesome.
Or at least right. Now, make two F's and make family. The F word in the circle is family. Okay? Just put your F's against your chest and make a circle like that. Okay? Now make your W's. Make a W either hand and make we're all. See, tonight's theme is family. Right? We're all a family. Can everybody do that? We're all a family. Make a barrier. Go under it. Under one sky. We're a family under one sky. What we said last night is that the family that sings together sort of stays together. At least a little bit longer. Has a little more fun normally. And God gave us voices not just to talk, because words come out. God gave us voices to sing. All right? So our theme song, and those of you who are here new tonight, we're going to have to learn it from the oldies. Okay? We're all a family under one sky. We're a family under one sky. And then the verse we're going to sing tonight is, well, we're sisters, brothers, uncles, and grandmas too. Parents, children, all members of one family. Okay? Now get ready with your W's. We're all a family under one sky. We're a family under one sky. We're all a family under one sky. We're a family under one sky. Well, we're sisters, we're brothers, we're uncles and grandmas, and grandmas too. We're parents, we're children, all members of one family. We're all a family under one sky. We're a family under one sky. We're all a family under one sky. We're a family under one sky.
Give yourself a stand.
And what were we?
Awesome.
Right. You think you're going to sit down for long? Last night we started getting into conflict. And oftentimes conflict generates anger. Is anger bad? No, it's not bad. It's normal, at least. What do you got to be careful about, though, with anger? How you deal with it. And what do you want to avoid? Right, hitting somebody. That's a specific. What generic things do you try to avoid? What is the generic thing you try to avoid when you're angry?
Violence,
abuse, hurting others, or hurting yourself. We got to find constructive ways to deal with our anger. Now, I talked last night about Gandhi as an educator. And we talked about Gandhi's principle that what the hands do, the heart learns. In Gandhian schools, also in India, there's a half hour every day of public performance. For real. Primary, middle grade, junior high, senior high kids, every day, half hour public performance. We sat through assembly after assembly after assembly. Kids get up and do what kinds of stuff? Hand motions. What else might they do? Like at the lift tonight. It's like a lift. They have a lift. Every day they have a half hour lift. What do they do? What do you think they do? Sing? Dance? Perform,
read,
all kinds of stuff. Gandhi felt that people have to get over their self-consciousness about standing up in public in front of their peers in order to become a public person. If you're going to be a peacemaker, if you're going to work for change in the world, you got to be a public person. And a lot of us have a lot of fears and self-consciousness. We're afraid of what people are going to think about us if we do stuff, huh? Right? Sometimes we're afraid of what our friends might think. They think we're a little crazy. So Gandhi said, you've got to get it out of your system. So gang, we're getting it out of our system. Stand up. In that spirit, we are going to do some ways to deal with anger. We're not just going to say them, we're going to sing them and motion them. Now you know the tune. It goes like this, and join me as soon as you pick it up. It's the, if you're happy and you know it, da da da. But this is if you're angry and you know it, what do? Okay, now, ready? Get ready.
If you're angry and you know it, stop and think. If you're angry and you know it, stop and think. If you're angry and you know it, it's okay for you to show it. If you're angry and you know it, stop and think.
Now, if you guys up at the top have to do it too, you can't get away just watching this. I mean, if we're going to make fools of ourselves, you are too. Now, I want you to stop and think for a second. How have you learned to deal with your anger that doesn't hurt somebody else or hurt yourself, that's worked? Just think about it for a second. One way that you have learned to deal with your anger. Just think about it. See if you can come up with one. What do you do when you're angry? It doesn't hurt other people or yourself. Give us one. Who wants to give
physical
us one?
Physical exercise.
Huh?
Physical exercise.
Do exercise. So, okay, if you're angry and you know it, exercise. And you've got to show us what the motions are going to be. Ready? Get ready. Okay. I set this one up for after dinner. Okay. If you're angry and you know it, exercise.
Sure.
Angry and you know it, exercise. If you're angry and you know it, it's okay for you to show it. If you're angry and you know it, exercise.
Come on. Who else has got one?
Punch a pillow.
Okay.
If you're angry and you know it, punch your pillow. If you're angry and you know it, punch your pillow. If you're angry and you know it, it's okay for you to show it. If you're angry and you know it, punch your pillow.
That's wonderful. Who else has got one to recommend to others? What do you do when you're angry? Talk about it. Talk to someone.
If you're angry and you know it, talk it out. If you're angry and you know it, talk it out. If you're angry and you know it, it's okay for you to show it. If you're angry and you know it, talk it out.
Throw old plates against the wall.
Do you do that? Do you seriously do that?
Yeah.
Throw a plate.
Old plates.
If you're angry and you know it, throw old plates. If you're angry and you know it, throw old plates.
Kids get the permission to do that in the house too?
What?
Do kids get to do that too, or is it just grown-ups that get to do that?
Everybody.
Okay. If you're angry and you know it, it's okay for you to show it.
If you're angry and you know it, throw old plates.
We have a great example out of our own family. Our son David has a violent temper. He's, as a little kid, he actually punched out of the dining room window in anger one day, put his fist through the dining room window. He has taken a baseball bat and literally destroyed the door that separates our bathroom from our bedroom. And he has learned over the years to deal with his anger, but when he was about 8 or 9 years old, he was sharing a room with his older brother, Tom, who was 2 years older. And David is as meticulous as Tom is scattered. And David, in frustration one day, just blew up. And I could hear this primal scream upstairs. You guys can sit down. That's okay. Unless you want to stand. I mean, this is great. Most people want to sit. David, I went running upstairs to try to save the upstairs. And I found David storming around his room saying, I am so angry. I can't stand living with this kid. I can't find any of my stuff. I am so angry. I'm going to write it on the agenda. And he stormed downstairs. And we have a piece of paper in our breakfast room where we eat dinner. And we have a piece of paper, not this big, it's not like that, that has agenda on it for our family meetings. And David wrote Tommy, not this big. It took up the whole piece of paper with an exclamation point and now written after it. Because he wanted to deal. And now meant an emergency meeting tonight. But David had an alternative to punching out a window or punching out his brother, both of which would have been disastrous. And we have found that for us, having a mechanism that we call family meeting. And we do it about once every week at times, or every 2 weeks. That has been a real good way for us to deal with some of the anger that we have inside. I remember coming home for a couple of weeks just really upset with the kids, because the living room, the one place in our house that I wanted to be nice when I come home, I'd like to have one room in the house where I can be peaceful and calm in my little corner of beauty and all that stuff. And for days and weeks, it was a mess. And I kept carrying it around. And finally, Kat said, "Jim, would you write it on the agenda and let go of it?" And I did. And once I wrote it on the agenda, I could truly let go of it, because I knew that in a couple of nights at our meeting, we'd talk about it. But I had forgotten the mechanism. It's also a wonderful way of affirming one another. We were talking last night about self-esteem, and people said listening, and with your eyes glued to the person. Family meeting is a wonderful way to affirm, to build up kids' self-esteem. Because in the family meeting, everybody's got a voice. And our understanding of justice is that everybody has the right to participate in the decisions that affect their life. And if you're in school, we believe that students got a right to help work with the teacher to determine what goes on. We really believe that. And we believe that especially at home, that kids got a right to make decisions with the grown-ups about what goes on. Otherwise, we're afraid those kids are going to grow up and be resentful and feel powerless and lash out. And we're trying to build the model of family decision-making that's mutual. It's not that the kids rule, because we don't vote. We got 3 kids and 2 adults. We don't vote, because if we voted, it would be 3-2 against us all the time. So we don't vote. We say consensus, which means everybody's got to agree. Which means if mom or dad doesn't agree, there's no decision. So we don't give up our authority. But the kids can also veto decisions. Cass will talk more about it. But it's for us, it's been the most single effective tool for us to deal with our anger, to promote our kids' self-esteem, to do conflict resolution, and to teach conflict resolution skills. Take it away, Kat.
Let me ask, how many of you have family meetings or family councils or regular times that you come together to make decisions? Okay, a couple of you. All right. Yeah, or did in the past. All right. That's what we're going to spend tonight talking about, the family meeting as one model for mutual decision making, for giving everybody in the family a share in the decision making for the family, and as a way to do nonviolent conflict resolution in the family too. The way we want to do that, I'm going to tell you a story first about a family meeting, and then we have a clip of a family meeting on video that we'd like to show you to give you a visual fix on it, and then see what kind of questions you have about it too. The story is taken from our own family, and it happened about 8 years ago when our oldest son was 13. And he came to Jim the day before we were going to have a family meeting and said, "Dad, I want to put cable TV on the agenda." And Jim's non-authoritarian response was, "You're wasting your time." And Tom said to him, "Well, now you let me worry about that." So it came time for the family meeting. We have our family meetings around the dinner table. Now, we can talk later about the pros and cons about doing it around the dinner table, but that's where we have ours. And we were all sitting around the dinner table, and Tom was sitting on the end, and David was leading the meeting, and when you lead the meeting, you go down the agenda and say, "Cable TV, who wrote that up there? What did you want to say about it?" That's basically how you lead. And Tom said, "I did." And all of a sudden, Tom stood up. Now, nobody's ever stood at a family meeting before, so it was kind of like, what's going on here? And he had some papers on a counter behind him, got these papers and stood there and said, 26 reasons why our family should get cable TV. He had written all these things out. Now, I'm not going to go through these 26, but a couple of them I think are important in terms of the process. He said, Mom and Dad, you like for us to spend time together as a family. And if we had the works and one of the movie channels, we would spend more time together as a family, particularly watching movies right here in our own home. He said, Mom and Dad, I know you don't like some of those movies that are on those channels. And he said, I've researched them, and I find that most of those R-rated or X-rated films are on the other two movie channels, and I don't think we should get those. I think we should just get one movie channel. Now, in his research, HBO was the one he was suggesting. And we could talk about HBO later, but anyway, that was what he had come up with. And then he said, I know you're concerned about how much money we spend for entertainment, and I found that we can get the works and HBO for $14 a month. And Dave and Teresa and I would chip in $6 a month out of our allowance. That would leave $8 a month. And he said, now, Mom and Dad, you go to at least one movie a month in the theater. And if you would stay home with your children, would increase family togetherness, and we could put that $8 into the pot, and we'd have the 14 without spending any extra money on entertainment. And then he said, Dad, I think you need to relax. You really enjoy sports. And if you had ESPN, you could watch sports much more often, and therefore you'd be a more relaxed person. And he went on with the rest of his reasons. Well, when he finished, put his papers down, he sat down. I looked at Jim, who literally was sitting there like that with his mouth hanging open, and I said, what do you think? And he said, I can't think of any reason why we shouldn't. Now, we did have a discussion about MTV, because we didn't know much about MTV at that point, and said, oh, kids, can you agree not to watch it until we have time to look at it and see what, and then we can talk about it some more. Yeah. And then we did some other little bit of negotiating about who was going to pay how much out of their loan. Then we decided as a family to get cable TV. Tom started to cry. Now, he was 13 years old, and he had, that morning he had had 5 teeth pulled. And his mouth hurt so, he said, my mouth hurt so bad all day today in school that, but tonight I persuaded the family to get cable TV. He said, this is the most emotional day of my life. Now, we tell that story not because we think you should get cable TV, but what it said to us later on, reflecting on it, was that there was a lot of potential in the process of the family meeting, a lot of potential for empowerment. That a kid at age 13, when you know a lot of things aren't going so good for you, could say, okay, this is a need that I have, and I can see how I can get my needs met without having to throw a tantrum or leave the family if I can honor the values and the needs of other people in the family. So that's just a story to kind of lead into a visual representation of the family meeting. This is a videotape that was done of one of our family meetings about 9 years ago. So the kids on this video are 8, 10, and 12. That's the age children that you're dealing with.
How old are you?
11.
11 and?
9.
9 and?
9.
9. So you just about 10?
9.
Yeah, so you're all about the age of the kids in the show.
The only way that they will allow us to use this videotape in workshops is if we tell you they don't look like this anymore. I mean, we've discussed this, and they said you have to tell people that. So you're all witnesses. I told you they don't look like this.
So they knew you were filming it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They knew.
But it's pretty spontaneous.
Yeah.
You'll see that.
It's not rehearsed.
This is not. We didn't do retakes.
It's in their home, or
yeah, this is
in
our home. You can get a spot where you can see it. Those, the green things that we passed out, if you open them up to the middle, and those of you up on top, you can have one too. The middle page has got a brown shaded area, a gray shaded area, with some of the do's and don'ts of family meetings. So that's something that you can refer to. If you start to lose interest in the video, you can read.
This clip is about 17 minutes long, something like that, just so you know.
The issues are TV time, golf ball, family service, which means helping other people. What are we going to do together as a family, help other people? And David and Teresa. I mean, David and Tommy, because Teresa was upset.
Wait a minute. Something's... It'll be okay, but see, it doesn't look like that. It did before.
Flinders Minute. You? Your turn. Ms. Gallon? Your hat? Put on. We can get started.
All right, we start with TV time. Who wrote that down?
I did.
What do you want to say?
Like sometimes we miss TV because we have to do other kinds of work. And like take a bath and stuff.
And Mr. Shaw?
Mm-hmm.
We want to do that? Oh, I'm sorry.
Hope not to do it again.
What do you do?
Like, try not to do it again.
You mean you want us not to do it? Not to tell you you have to do a job or go to bed when it's your TV time?
Mm-hmm.
Well, are most of your shows, are most of your shows that you watch before your bedtime?
Yeah, I have two.
Two nights you watch them, you get to stay up a little bit later?
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday and Friday?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. Well,
guys, you don't have enough time to take a bath during the commercials?
No.
Well, how about if we, what if we called you in earlier on the nights that you had to take a bath? So then you do it before you did it?
Okay.
That'll work?
Mm-hmm.
So we call you in earlier?
Does that go for us too?
Do you want it that way?
No. Because I can get mine done.
You can get yours done?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know yours, Teresa? On a night like you have a bath, you can take a bath, and you're going to watch TV. You want us to call you before the show starts, so you can take your bath first?
Yeah.
That would work?
Mm-hmm. Golf ball.
I'd pick that up. Because that yellow, that orange golf ball, you know, that I had, that was mine. I found it, and Tommy said it was his.
It's red.
No, it's not. It's orange. It was orange. It's yellow, orange, and
it's red. It says Holden.
And I found it at the park. And Tommy says it was his, and he found it.
May I speak?
Mm-hmm.
Before Teresa said, our friend gave it to her.
Friend gave it to her?
Mm-hmm. So you just changed the subject just to get it back.
I remember.
I thought
Tommy has it or Mommy.
I have it.
You still have it?
Yes, and it's mine.
And you said it's yours, Tom?
Yes, because it's a red golf ball. It says XS, SX plus 90. And it says Holden on it.
Well, I think it's Tommy's partner because I've seen it. It with him all the time. He had it much before Teresa ever had a golf ball. And soon as Teresa I saw Teresa with her, Tommy's was gone.
Yeah, and I've been looking for my hair.
Sure, you lost it. You lose things.
Again, Mom, that you remember that I used to roll on a stick.
I remember that you had one, yeah.
You could have lost it.
It's the same kind of thing.
Is it a
ball? A ball. But you could have lost it and I could have found it again at the park.
But a few minutes ago, like when you were out and you said it before, you said Jamie gave it. You said you got it from a friend and then all of a sudden you said you got it from a park.
I never did.
Well, if you found it at the park, couldn't it have been Tommy's that he lost at the park?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Could be.
You know, I could find it softball or go out at the park, he leaves it there.
But what if Tommy finds it in this room and he has two of them and they give it back to me?
Yeah, because he already has one. But I doubt I would find it on.
Well, I mean, the next time you do deep cleaning in your room, if you see it, would you look for it and see if there's a second one?
All right, the last time I did deep cleaning, I couldn't find it.
Okay, well, but maybe we can see if it turns out the next time.
Yeah, because he could have put it on somewhere else that he never probably looks for.
Would that work okay then for you?
Yeah.
That worked out pretty good.
But there's nothing more to say about it. But what if I want to play with it? Can me and Tommy share it until he finds it? If he can't find it for his next clue, then he can have it until he does find it.
What do you think? Would you ever be willing to share it sometime?
Of course I would be willing to share it. But I don't want anybody to lose it.
Ah, so if you share it and Teresa loses it, then Teresa has to get you another golf ball?
Yeah, it's all same kind of target.
Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sounds like it worked out.
Family service.
I put that up there. We haven't had that up there for a few weeks. And I'm wondering whether you guys, I got some ideas, but I'd like to see what you guys have. Are there any things that you guys can think of that we can do to help other people? Are there some other people that we would really like to help right now?
I know, Mark. You know how much money bowling is?
Bowling?
Yeah. That much money, we could save the rest of the money for the poor people and put it in the kitty. That box. The rice box.
Well, you know what, Teresa? We have, I bet, at least $25 in here already from Lent.
Yeah.
And we haven't decided what we're going to do with it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's one thing we could even do right now, just to make a decision on what we're going to do with the money that's already there. Your idea was to...
But we didn't use any yet.
I know.
So how are we
going to
use it?
There's more to...
You're going to put my line? I can't use all mine.
Okay, I'll take yours.
Just take some hair from it.
I'm touched.
A bowling doesn't cost that much money.
But we're not just talking about how to spend extra money that we have.
No, we haven't done it yet.
That's something else. We're talking about what we should do to help some other people.
Yeah.
A different from giving them money, but something that we can do.
You know,
like when we went to the Catholic Worker House a couple of times that dinner, remember?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing we're talking about.
You know, one idea I had, we're having a meeting tonight with the other families in our Nicaragua group, and one of the things we were going to talk about tonight is they asked us for some money to help build their houses in their neighborhood, and they asked us for some things for their clinic.
What?
It really helped. You know what they need? I got a list of them today. What they said they needed, they need staplers and staples. They need magic markers for signs to write signs for the women that come to the clinic. And they need other kinds of stuff. Scales, they needed some scales to weigh babies on. And we're going to talk tonight about how each of the families in our group could do something to help raise money for our partner in Nicaragua. And I was wondering whether you guys had some ideas about how we as a family might earn some money for them.
We got a whole bunch of markers in the little plastic bag up on.
Oh, is there?
No, it's over that cabinet.
So we got markers already. We didn't have to buy them.
I think so. We got markers.
I just don't know.
Okay.
They're up behind
most of them are used.
Yeah, but some are dry.
You know who sent us the letter?
Who?
Maura.
Who's Maura?
Maura. She's our family.
Lady whose picture we
have. She said it.
Well, she was the one who wrote the letter. I got to translate it today.
If we sent some markers, is there anything else that we could do to raise some money?
Yes.
Is there any kind of project that we could do?
Let me see. The science fair is buying over already. Buy more bottles
And then we could return more bottles and get more money.
Whenever we go back to the store and get our bottles back, instead of spending that money ourselves, we could take all the return of all that money and put that in a special kitty for Nicaragua. The other thing I was wondering about was Bob Johnson.
A sick neighbor.
And if there was anything we could do for the Johnsons.
Yeah, we could give them, we could ask them to come over for dinner. Or we could go over there and cook them dinner or have a party for him.
Well, one thing I was thinking, Emily's making her first communion Saturday.
Oh, I could give her a big present.
You're talking about helping out the family. I was thinking that maybe we could make they're gonna have but we it couldn't shouldn't just be just me doing the cooking.
Maybe I can go for before I leave, maybe I can just go for a visit with him for a little bit. Have you asked them about babysitting?
No.
Lately, maybe that's something that you can do this school here and just see if there's any help that you can do by babysitting.
I think it might be good because I think maybe they would like to just get away so they could talk sometimes without being around the kids.
Because they're really sad.
So bad.
So those two things, we got waste of raising some money. Can we use the money that was in here? Is that correct? The money you saved during that? Plus skipping snacks and drinks and stuff? Okay. I'm gonna do some more. That's such a great
Okay, Tommy and David.
I put that up because I think it was today. Tommy said, when I heard my leg yesterday from Jimmy Dubba, does you know? I told you guys, and I was still hurting this morning. And Tommy and David said, you're faking it, Teresa. I know it doesn't hurt. Because he tickled me and I was laughing. He said, it doesn't hurt, Teresa. And then David came and said, it doesn't hurt either, Teresa.
You were swimming perfectly, Teresa.
I know.
It doesn't hurt when you swim.
It doesn't hurt when you swim. When you step on it,
it hurts.
When you kick it does. When you kick a ball, like, it hurts when you kick swims.
Seems like maybe she,
when you push
a hold of muscle in her foot.
Okay, but she pushes off the wall this morning.
Yeah, but is it necessary to teach her? That's what she's saying. Why is that bitch in front of your tongue?
I just thought she was going to try to get away from school.
No, you just bother her sometimes. That's what she's saying. Deliver her alone. That's part of the morning fighting stuff. You're out there forcing around us, teasing her and things.
All right, is it settled? Yes.
Well, I don't know. I don't understand what the solution is. What got settled? It's just that you didn't like it.
It was just a foot incident. I'm sure her foot will be feeling better pretty soon.
Oh, I pulled the muscle.
I heard Teresa saying it was like when that kind of thing happens.
Of course.
But you guys don't have to tease me.
Yep. And how are you doing?
Because you don't know.
And you're saying you're just going to watch it from now on and not do it? Is that what you're saying?
Because he doesn't.
What are the consequences? Yeah, what are the consequences if you don't stop?
He doesn't know, we'll stop.
No, but what if you don't?
That
happens other times. Well, what if you don't? Just on the slight possibility that you might not, which the consequences be.
No, listen, Tommy and David don't know what I did. They don't know what happened.
Teresa, I'm just asking Tommy about what the consequences should be.
Half an hour earlier in bed.
Half an hour earlier in bed?
15 minutes.
15 minutes earlier in bed?
People do it 2 times a day, and it's a pretty normal thing to tease. I mean, about if you're hurt and you think of faint, I just go up to them and say, hi, Teresa.
I think maybe we should check that, though, and so that, like, next week we can just say, are we doing better?
And the consequence.
Cousins are 15 minutes earlier to bed that night.
Yeah. If you really aggravate
somebody.
Especially in the morning, because that's something we talked about earlier, that that's a really important time not to start fighting with each other the first. We won't subject you to any more than that. The golf ball. Tom moved out of the house a year and a half ago, at age 19, came downstairs and said, you won't believe it, guess what I found? 7 years later, and it was orange. Teresa was right.
What we want to do is to give you all some opportunities to ask questions or comments or concerns you have about this whole idea of family decision making. Some of you have had experience with it and some of you haven't. I think I'm going to sit because then you can see people. Otherwise that thing's right in the way. So I'm sure that people have questions or concerns or insights.
Sure.
Are your children still willing to do it?
We do it much less frequently now. They're not home much. I mean, that's one of the issues, and it's more now. And other people, this was not an original idea with us. Somebody else told us this. And I remember this family telling us the same thing, and it's been true for us, that as the kids got older, it was more a matter of their coming to a parent and then sometimes saying, I just want to talk to you about this. But there was sort of a pattern of communication. Other times the kids would say, yeah, I think I want a family meeting on this issue. So it kind of depends on how they are. Yes?
How would you deal when there's no decision that can be made? For example, you say that you had a consensus and, you know, the issue may come up continually, and as parents, you cannot give in to that discussion, and it comes up again and again as they're beginning to be pre-teenagers, or, you know, even kids can be a little bit obsessive about things that they want. For example, the cable TV, Tommy, or if he couldn't have had those reasons and it was something that the two of you just didn't want, how do you deal with something like that? Because then you are, by not dealing with it, you are asserting your own authority, you know, in a...
I mean, I can give a short response and then see what other people would say too. One of the things I think that we've found and other parents have found over the years is that if those times are relatively infrequent, then the kids are much more willing to accept the fact that you say, yeah, I understand your reasons, you know, let's presuppose we've talked about it, I hear you, I understand why this is important to you, but we just can't say yes to it, that they're much more willing to accept that if most of the time there have been ways that compromises could be made and that they could feel like their needs were more taken into account.
We have to be really honest about our reasons and be really clear about those reasons. And there have been times when Kath and I have even had to pull away postpone the decision so that we could talk more, because she thought I was being unreasonable. Once in my life.
Yeah. But I do think that if it's a, that they're more willing to accept it if it's sort of an exception to the rule rather than a rule.
And so that rather than having a meet, so what you're saying essentially is that not every item on the agenda is finished in one time.
Right.
There have been times when we've held things over. That, you know, we need to talk more about it. We're not really, maybe we're not really listening to each other. Some of us are monopolizing the conversation. You know, somebody hasn't had a chance. There could be a lot of reasons. Or even just to say some of us are out of sorts. It doesn't seem like this is the best night for us to be talking about this. Let's just...
Should we continue it or should we hold it till tomorrow night? Our concern is the process rather than saying we got to finish all this tonight, and if we don't, we failed. And you know it, and you can just push too hard.
Do other people have any either insights on that question or other questions? First, maybe anything else on that question?
I know that when my mom, when I was a teenager, I would take it a lot easier if she would tell me the reason why and say no. Even if the answer was no, I would feel a lot more upset if she wouldn't give me her reason.
Right. So that, yeah. I think that is important. And I also think that there are times when if we really listen to each other, maybe it, you know, let's see, an example might be, say cable TV, all right, say it was cable TV, and say we really felt like we were not going to get cable TV, but maybe if we were really listening to the kids or to the one kid, we might begin to see him saying, you know, I feel like I don't have anything that's special in terms of entertainment. Or I need, you know, I need something else, something that I can bring my friends over for and they feel good about. And I mean, if you can get to that point, then maybe an alternative can be reach. Well, what about this? Oh, well, you know, and sometimes, not in an Osberg, sometimes they're, as you said, really focused on just one thing, but sometimes through the discussion we can get to what's really underneath it.
And that's the beauty of the process, and I think the kids in our field have learned. I can remember when David was about 15 and he had Atari at the time.
In television.
He wanted to get a bunch of cartridges that were a lot of the violent stuff. And we just said, David, there are other shows out there that you can have. We do not have those kinds of things in this house. And David just got real upset. He said, I can never get anything I want around here. And Tom just turned to him and said, David, that's not true. In this family, you can get almost anything you want. That was unsolicited from Tom. And that made us feel pretty good about that, because by nature I'm real strict, and my basic answer is no. So I mean that I've come a long way through this process.
It looked to me like your kids actually reacted pretty reasonably, and our kids have most of the time. But we have one child that's stubborn. And as well as being willful, how do you handle such a person?
Straitjacket. Physical restraint. Physical restraint. I mean, David was willful. I had to restrain him sometimes. But no, those were the extreme situations. But
We do have at least one very willful child. Our middle child is extremely willful. And this process has been helpful to him. I mean, he's really been able to use it. Now, that doesn't mean that there are times when he will not want to bring something to the family meeting, but he will say to us, I want us to talk about this. You know, maybe he's really angry, and often when he comes to the conversation, he feels like he's already compromised just by coming to talk to us about it.
So his position's non-negotiable.
Yeah, but even that, as he's gotten older, he's been able to move on.
But, I mean, when he assumed a non-negotiable position, like on curfew, and he wanted either 2 o'clock or no curfew at all at age 15. And we just said, David, that's absolutely unreasonable. And he just said, not true. He said, none of my friends have curfew. We had to get a third party mediator in the situation because David was not going to budge. And there may be times when that's necessary. And we settled on somebody that he trusted, his school counselor. And we got into that session and she agreed with us. And David stormed out of the meeting. And after he realized that he did not have the ally that he thought he had, but he basically, with us giving in a little bit here and there, he basically kept his curfew, but we fought him for 2 to 3 years over the curfew. And just about 2 months ago, he was on Teresa's case, and he said, Teresa, you're doing all the same stuff that I did when I was your age. And he said, you know, Mom and Dad were right, and they were right about curfew. So we had to hang in. I mean, we read chapter one. It's a mess. But we hung in for several years with David, and we resisted. I mean, we had our bottom lines that we weren't going to give on. But we also, whenever possible, didn't try to back him into a corner where he could either just defy us or give in, because he wasn't about to give in. So we made little compromises. If we said 1 and it was 110, we found a way to affirm that that was okay, because it was certainly better than 3. But you know, with the willful person, you got to assert it. In fact, you're in charge, I think, but not in such a way that it's gonna, I mean, the kid's just gonna walk out. So it's a tightrope. But truly, the first chapter in Helping Teens Care is the best testimony that we can give to how to deal with this kind of a situation. We had to work out a living contract with David. Here's what, you know, and he had to sign it. We had to have somebody else help us negotiate it. This is what is expected of you to live in this house. And here are these are the benefits that you get for being a part of the family. And if you're not willing to abide by this, then I guess you have to leave. And that was hard. That was really hard to get to that line. But with willful kids sometimes.
You tried it.
A little bit connected with the willful child. Are there families who you have not been able to teach the process because of something inherent in that family or their situation, or where the family meeting is contraindicated or a disaster?
A couple things on that I think are important. The family meeting presupposes some skills. It presupposes some ability to communicate and to hear each other's feelings and some things like that. So often people say, well, you know, like people that work with other families will say to us, you know, I really have to do some work with the families I'm working with before they got to the point where they can do this, because they can't really listen to each other. So some basic communication skills.
also husband and wife.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've got a two-parent situation, if especially if the man is not willing to see his spouse as co-equal, you're in deep trouble in this kind of thing. So it presupposes that the husband in the two-parent situation is willing to really negotiate and doesn't see himself as the one that God has ordained to make the decisions for the family. It's a different model than some people are comfortable with.
And I think your question about is the contraindicated sometimes. There are some families who would say, oh, meeting. The whole idea of a meeting is just not us, you know. And I remember one family telling us that what they used to do was on, both parents worked and worked long hours, and on Sunday mornings they would get the kids together on their bed and they would just kind of talk and kind of hash over anything. Well, in a sense they were sort of doing the same thing, but they would never call it a meeting. And it would probably have destroyed it if they had called it a meeting. It was just a time, and some families just call it family time, or let's talk, we need to talk. The two things that many families have told us that have been a problem for the family meeting is that the only time a family meeting is called is when there's a problem that a parent wants to talk to a kid about. Then the kids very soon say, well, I know what family meeting is. We just sit down together and you tell me what I'm doing wrong, you know, rather than just on the fly, and I don't like it. So the kids have to have access to the agenda. It has to really be their agenda and their needs, as well as the adult or adults in the family. And the other thing is, if it's only problems, then it usually doesn't last too long. So
that's why we have a lot of planning things. And if you're starting it, start with low-stake items. Start your family meetings with fun things. Plan grandma's birthday. Talk about family fun. You may want to do family service. But just don't load it up with heavy duty, emotionally laden issues. Start with the easy stuff. And make sure there's easy stuff and fun stuff anytime you have a meeting.
Do you build in the things in the family meeting that are affirmations of one another?
Sure, you can do that. Lots of families. I mean, the more you can do to make the meeting taste good, the better. Start your meeting with affirmations, have a special dessert, go out to Baskin Robbins, watch Cosby show afterwards, play a game, pray, whatever it takes, go to a restaurant. Some families have their meetings in a restaurant. Sunday mornings after church, it's the only place that Dad doesn't yell. That was what they told us. But it was a fun environment. You want the meeting to taste good. The more that you can associate the meeting with positive, good-feeling, tasting stuff, the more the meeting will benefit from that environment, atmosphere, ambiance.
We tried in a classroom situation to develop the class meetings, and yep, they've been very successful with the agenda that the children write, but also it's an opportunity to give the put-ups appropriately and make sure that people on the playground can resolve some of those things with their classmates.
We really want the whole process of the meeting, of this kind of a participatory thing, I think is real important in a classroom. It's also a process that staffs have used very effectively, too. I mean, again, this doesn't come from us. This is a what we wanted to do. We're kind of running short on time, and we wanted to give, especially those of you who are here as families, give you an opportunity. We'd like for you to have a short family meeting, like a minute and a half family meeting right now, and with just one item on the agenda. And that would be, if you have never tried a family meeting, would you like to try? That's the only item on the agenda. Should we try? If you have had family meetings and maybe have stopped or you're having them, is there something we could do to resurrect it? Do we need to? Or is there something we can do to improve it? And those of you that are not here as families, we'd just like to ask you to turn to the person next to you for the next 2 minutes, just to kind of share some of your ideas about the whole process of the family meeting, so everybody's got a chance to talk about it. Okay?
Then we have some conclusion after that. Go. Can we come back as a whole group for just a couple of minutes? If any of you want more on the family meeting, a couple of suggestions. One is, Kathy's got some ideas for families with preschoolers in starting out, right? Those of you who were not here last night, those of you who have kids elementary school age or older, we got lots of ideas in the family meeting in our Parenting for Peace and Justice book. As I said, there's some good chapters for teens in the Helping Teens Care book. Secondly, Kath and I, grab us whenever you want. If you see us and want to ask some questions or share your own experience, feel free to do that, okay? We'd like to be available.
We're doing garbology tomorrow.
Yeah, you want to help us? Tomorrow's focus, our workshop is at 10:45. We're going to be dealing with the question of how do you help kids deal with violence and war? Violence just around them, TV, toys. But then when you get to the whole question of war, how do you help kids begin to deal with that? Please bring the Green Families Acting for Peace pamphlets with you tomorrow. We have a couple of other larger handouts tomorrow, a newsletter. We did a special issue of our Parenting for Peace and Justice newsletter on this topic, on helping kids deal with conflict and war, especially in the context of the Persian Gulf War. If you can't come tomorrow, but would like a copy of that newsletter, if there's any extras, come to our session on Friday. Which the topic is going to be on families and racism, or grab us somewhere along the line, because we may have some leftovers after tomorrow's class.
Tomorrow is just for adults.
Tomorrow is just for adults, right? It's not for the kids. It's at 10:45. We would appreciate it if you pick up a couple of our big handouts like this, if you can maybe give us $1 to help cover the cost. There's a big children's bibliography that we're going to give out also. And we'll have that tomorrow and Friday. It's an excellent bibliography of children's books, K-12, grades 12. So if you take a couple of these things and you can give us $1, great. If you can't, no problem. If any of you are looking for a wonderful children's book on the environment, to read while you're with your kids while you're here, you can borrow the copy of The Lorax. I just brought it along in case anybody wants to borrow it. Be sure to give it back to us. Teaching Peace is the best tape collection of tapes that we know of children's music. We played a couple of them last night. As a conclusion, if you want to stay, and you don't have to, we have a 6-minute excerpt of a beautiful song called Prayer for the Family. It's a beautiful celebration of family life, the struggles as well as the joys that we have on video. It takes 6 minutes. If you want to stay and watch it, fine. If you want to get out of here because it's time to go, go. Thank you for being with us. And I want to see if you can remember it. One quick last verse. Ready to go? We're all a family under one sky. We're a